And the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus, seeing the earthquake and the things that had happened, were greatly afraid and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Matthew 27:54. On that gloomy and crucial day in history, a Roman centurion was present overseeing the crucifixion of Jesus. This soldier was a man hardened by war, accustomed to brutality and death, but something about this specific event was about to change his life forever. His responsibility was to ensure that the execution proceeded without issues. He was used to following rigid orders and maintaining order amidst chaos. However, that day would be extraordinarily different from any other he had experienced. This centurion, whose position required a cold and efficient character, was responsible for 100 soldiers. His rise through the ranks of the Roman army was due to his bravery, intelligence, and ability to handle extreme situations. The role he played required an ability to separate his emotions from his duty. Nevertheless, the events of that day challenged that separation, forcing him to confront his own beliefs and emotions. Interpretation based on the common characteristics of Roman centurions. As he watched Jesus being led to the crucifixion, the centurion could not ignore the dignity with which Jesus faced his imminent death. He was accustomed to seeing men beg for their lives, curse their executioners, or succumb to despair. However, Jesus maintained an impressive calm, even while being tortured and ridiculed. This serenity planted a seed of doubt and curiosity in the centurion's heart. Interpretation based on Jesus' behavior described in the Bible. The crowd attending the crucifixion was in a frenzy, instigated by the religious leaders who wanted to see Jesus dead. For the centurion, this was just another day of work, another execution to maintain Roman peace. But as events unfolded, he began to realize that there was something unique about this execution, something that defied his understanding and started to stir his soul. Interpretation of the possible thoughts and feelings of the centurion. It was his responsibility to ensure the execution proceeded smoothly. He commanded 100 soldiers, a man who rose through the ranks due to his bravery and intelligence. However, this day would be unlike any other. The task of overseeing crucifixions was for him a grim but necessary routine to maintain the order and authority of the Roman Empire. The crucifixion of Jesus, however, began to stand out from all the others he had witnessed. Jesus was taken to the Praetorium, where the soldiers gathered around him, mocking and inflicting indescribable pain. They stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him, and twisted together a crown of thorns, placing it on his head. They then gave him a staff, symbolizing a scepter, and knelt before him in mockery, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him, took the staff, and struck him on the head repeatedly. The centurion, observing all this, could not help but notice Jesus' dignity in the face of such humiliation. Any other man would have begged for mercy or screamed in pain, but Jesus remained silent, enduring the suffering with a tranquility that defied human understanding. This began to move the centurion, who, accustomed to brutality, found himself increasingly intrigued by this figure. When they finally took Jesus to be crucified, the path along the Via Dolorosa was marked by the weight of the cross and the compassion of a divided crowd, some mourning and others mocking. The women of Jerusalem wept for him, and he, in the midst of his own suffering, stopped to console them and their children. The centurion watched all this with a mixture of disbelief and admiration. Interpretation based on the biblical narrative of Jesus and the women of Jerusalem. Despite being accustomed to executions, the crucifixion of Jesus was not common. He had executed many before, but Jesus' tranquility and dignity in the face of torture awakened something in him. The execution took place at Golgotha, the place of the skull, a place feared and known for its association with cruel death. The sight of Jesus carrying his cross there, accompanied by an unwilling spectator, Simon of Cyrene, was a scenario that repeated with variations, but Jesus' behavior was unprecedented. When they arrived at the place, they nailed Jesus to the cross and lifted it between two thieves, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy about being counted among the transgressors. The crowd continued to mock him, and the religious leaders challenged him to come down from the cross if he was really the Son of God. Even the criminals crucified beside him joined in the mockery. But Jesus remained silent, demonstrating an inner strength that confused his executors. The centurion, accustomed to violent resistance and the desperation of the condemned, saw something completely different in Jesus. His prayer to the Father, asking for forgiveness for those who crucified him, resonated deeply with the soldier. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." These words, spoken in the midst of agony, revealed a love and mercy that transcended human understanding. The centurion began to question everything he knew about strength and power. As the hours passed, nature also began to react to Jesus' suffering. Darkness fell over the land at noon, lasting until 3 in the afternoon. This supernatural phenomenon increased the sense of awe and reverence among those present. The centurion, seeing creation react so dramatically, was compelled to recognize that something much greater was happening. Jesus, even while being mocked and beaten, remained serene. The centurion watched, impressed by Jesus' dignity and silence, contrasting with previous executions. In the praetorium, the soldiers stripped Jesus again, dressed him in his clothes, and led him to be crucified. They continued mocking him, but Jesus did not respond with anger or resistance. His silence was disturbing to those accustomed to seeing the desperation of the condemned. The centurion, witnessing this unusual calm, began to feel growing disquiet. He had seen many men beg for their lives from their executioners or give in to despair. But Jesus was different. He endured the pain with a peace that defied understanding. This serenity was not the resignation of a defeated man, but the strength of someone who knew his suffering had a greater purpose. Jesus' prayer asking for forgiveness for his executioners resonated in the centurion's mind. Never before had he heard anyone pray for their enemies in such a way. This demonstration of love and compassion contrasted sharply with the brutality of the crucifixion act. The centurion began to wonder who this man was who could love so deeply even in the midst of torture. As Jesus hung on the cross, he continued to show unusual concern for others. He entrusted the care of his mother to the beloved disciple John, showing a familial concern and love that transcended his own pain. These acts of compassion and care in the midst of suffering deeply touched the centurion's heart, who saw in Jesus a humanity that defied his understanding of strength and weakness. During the trial, the high priest challenged Jesus to declare himself the Son of God. Jesus firmly confirmed it, causing a profound impact on the centurion who witnessed everything. "You have said so," Jesus replied, "but I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Matthew 26:64. This declaration was a turning point. The high priest tore his clothes, accusing Jesus of blasphemy, leading to his condemnation. The centurion, present during this exchange, saw the calm and authority with which Jesus responded to the accusations. He did not defend himself or beg for mercy. Instead, he affirmed his divine identity, knowing that it would seal his fate. This behavior strongly contrasted with that of other condemned men who often resorted to desperation or denial. As Jesus was taken back to the praetorium, the centurion might have reflected on what he had witnessed. Jesus' words might have resonated in his mind. "You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." This vision of power and majesty contrasted with the scene of humiliation and suffering he was witnessing. How could someone in such a situation speak with such certainty and authority? Interpretation of the centurion's possible reflections. As Jesus faced more humiliations and torture, his response remained constant. He did not curse his executioners or try to escape. Instead, he continued to demonstrate a quiet strength that defied the centurion's understanding. This strength was not physical but spiritual and might have begun to awaken a new perception in the hardened soldier. The crowd, incited by the religious leaders, demanded Jesus' crucifixion. Pilate, yielding to the pressure, handed Jesus over to the soldiers. The centurion again saw Jesus' calm in the midst of chaos. "Crucify him! Crucify him!" echoed the crowd's cries as Pilate washed his hands, symbolizing his attempt to absolve himself of the guilt for condemning an innocent man. Matthew 27:24. The centurion was used to the violence and bloodlust of the crowds. He had seen many times the masses demanding the death of the condemned. However, the intensity of the hatred directed at Jesus was unusual. He knew that the religious leaders were behind it, manipulating the crowd to ensure Jesus' execution. That manipulation was not new, but the target of their hatred was what disturbed the centurion. As Jesus carried his cross through the narrow streets of Jerusalem, falling under its weight, the centurion was forced to intervene, ordering Simon of Cyrene to help carry the cross. This simple act of compassion ordered by the centurion showed that even in his role as executor, he was not insensitive to human suffering. He saw in Jesus a man who did not deserve that fate. As the procession advanced, the crowd continued mocking and insulting Jesus. However, Jesus did not return the hatred. He remained silent, enduring everything with a dignity that defied expectations. This behavior contrasted with the typical reaction of other condemned men who frequently responded to violence with violence or despair. While Jesus was nailed to the cross, he did not express hatred or anger. Instead, he asked the Father to forgive those who crucified him, including the centurion himself. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Luke 23, verse 34. These words, spoken in the midst of agony, revealed a depth of love and compassion that disarmed the centurion. The centurion, used to hearing cries of pain and curses, might have been surprised by this prayer. Never before had he witnessed a man, especially one being executed so cruelly, asking for forgiveness for his executioners. This demonstration of mercy might have begun to break the hardness of his heart, planting in him a seed of doubt about everything he had known and believed. As Jesus hung on the cross, he continued to show unusual concern for others. He entrusted the care of his mother to the beloved disciple John, showing a familial concern and love that transcended his own pain. These acts of compassion and care in the midst of suffering might have deeply touched the centurion's heart, who saw in Jesus a humanity that defied his understanding of strength and weakness. As the crucifixion continued, the centurion observed the reactions of the crowd and the other soldiers. Some mocked Jesus, saying, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Matthew 27, verse 40. Others, however, might have begun to wonder if they had really made a terrible mistake in condemning a just man. The centurion, seeing these divided reactions, might have felt a growing conviction that he was witnessing something divine. The soldiers, including the centurion, cast lots for Jesus' clothes. Even at that moment, Jesus' concern was for the forgiveness of his executioners. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes by casting lots to see what each would get. Mark 15, verse 24. This act of dividing the clothes was common in Roman crucifixions, where the executioners had the right to the condemned man's possessions. The centurion, observing this ritual, saw a shocking contrast. While his comrades were more concerned with Jesus' material possessions, he could not ignore the spiritual depth of what was happening. Jesus' words asking for forgiveness might still resonate in his mind, confronting him with a reality he had never considered. The Gospels recount that Jesus' clothes were divided into four parts, one for each soldier, but his tunic, which was seamless, was cast lots for to decide who would take it. John 19, 23-24. This seemingly trivial detail fulfilled an Old Testament prophecy. "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." Psalm 22, 18. The centurion, though perhaps unaware of this prophecy, might have begun to realize that everything happening there had a deeper significance. As the soldiers cast lots, Jesus continued to suffer in silence, showing a resilience and serenity that defied human understanding. For the centurion, each moment might increase his conviction that this was not an ordinary man. He might have begun to reflect on the stories and miracles he had heard about Jesus and how someone with so much power and compassion could be condemned to death. Suddenly, the earth shook and a supernatural darkness covered the sky. These cosmic signs deeply moved the centurion, who had never witnessed anything like it before. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the whole land, Matthew 27, 45. This supernatural phenomenon increased the sense of fear and reverence among those present, making it clear that Jesus' crucifixion was an extraordinary event. The centurion, already perplexed by Jesus' behavior, now faced a nature dramatically responding to the man's death on the cross. The darkness at midday and the earthquake that followed were unmistakable signs that something beyond human understanding was happening. These physical events reflected the spiritual magnitude of what was occurring. The darkness that lasted 3 hours could not be explained by a solar eclipse, as the Jewish Passover occurred during a full moon. Therefore, this supernatural event was clearly perceived as a divine sign. The centurion, seeing creation react so dramatically, was compelled to acknowledge that he was witnessing a unique moment in history. The earth shook and the rocks split, showing that nature was mourning the death of the Son of God. By then, the centurion and his men were filled with fear. They were used to dealing with danger and death, but this experience was different. They were not just witnessing an execution, they were witnessing a manifestation of divine power. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split. Matthew 27:50-51. These events increased the centurion's conviction that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. Nature, more sensitive than human hearts, responded to Jesus' death. The rocks split and the earth shook, signaling the significance of that moment. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split. Matthew 27:50-51. These physical events reflected the spiritual magnitude of what was happening. The temple curtain that separated the most holy place was torn, symbolizing the new covenant between God and humanity through Jesus' sacrifice. The centurion, seeing these signs, began to understand that Jesus' death was not just an execution, but a cosmic event of great spiritual importance. The darkness and the earthquake were physical manifestations of creation's mourning for the death of its creator. Spurgeon, a famous preacher, said, "He did not die for the rocks, yet the rocks were more tender than the hearts of the men for whom he shed his blood." Before all these events, the centurion declared, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Matthew 27:54. This confession was a powerful and sincere acknowledgement of Jesus' innocence and divinity. The centurion, a man accustomed to the brutality of war and death, was deeply moved by what he saw and heard that day. His declaration was a testimony to the impact Jesus' death had on him. The centurion's conviction did not arise solely from external signs, like the darkness and the earthquake. It was also the result of his careful observation of Jesus' behavior throughout the entire process of torture and crucifixion. He saw Jesus' dignity, compassion, and love even in the midst of agony. This contrasted sharply with the brutality and cruelty he was used to seeing in other executions. The centurion's proclamation was an act of courage and faith. He was surrounded by soldiers and religious leaders who had condemned Jesus to death, yet he declared his belief in Jesus' divinity. This confession was a milestone in the centurion's life, a moment of transformation that led him to recognize the truth about who Jesus was. This declaration was also a testimony to those present. The confession of a Roman soldier hardened by battle gave credibility to Jesus' divinity. Jesus' death began to have an immediate impact, touching the heart of a man who was there to oversee his execution. The centurion, who began the day as an executioner, ended it as a believer. As the hours passed, the centurion might have reflected on the events. He might have thought about the significance of Jesus' words and the impact of the events he witnessed. Jesus' prayer asking for forgiveness for his executioners, the supernatural signs, and Jesus' serenity in the face of death might have continued to resonate in his mind. Each moment of that day might have reinforced the conviction that he had witnessed something extraordinary. Interpretation of the centurion's possible reflections. The centurion's mind might have been full of questions. Who was this man he helped crucify? How could someone endure so much pain and humiliation with such dignity? Why did nature respond so dramatically to his death? These questions might have begun to consume his thoughts, leading him to seek answers. Jesus' step words to the high priest affirming that he would see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven might resonate in the centurion's mind. He might have begun to realize that the crucifixion was not the end, but the beginning of something much greater. The centurion, used to dealing with death, might have begun to glimpse the promise of eternal life through Jesus. As he reflected, the centurion might also think about the responsibility he bore. He had overseen the execution of a just man, a man he now believed was the Son of God. That weight of responsibility might have begun to transform his view of himself and the world around him. He was no longer just a Roman soldier. He was now someone who had been touched by divine truth. Something inside the centurion might have begun to change. He, a soldier hardened by war and death, might have felt his heart being touched by Jesus' message of love and forgiveness. The brutality he had witnessed and participated in throughout his career now seemed empty and meaningless compared to the compassion and mercy Jesus demonstrated on the cross. The centurion might have begun to feel a new spiritual awareness awakening within him. He had seen many men die, but Jesus' death was different. There was a holiness and peace in the way Jesus faced his execution that was impossible to ignore. This experience might have begun to break the hardness of his heart, leading him to reconsider his beliefs and values. The centurion's inner transformation was not immediate, but gradual. As he reflected on the events of that day, he might have begun to feel a growing need to seek the truth. He might have started to question the meaning of life and death and the purpose of his own existence. This spiritual search might have led him on a journey of discovery and self-knowledge. The centurion, who was once known for his efficiency and coldness, might have begun to show signs of compassion and humility. He might have started treating his subordinates and prisoners with more humanity, reflecting Jesus' thought influence in his life. The centurion's inner transformation might have been a testimony to the power of the cross to change hearts and minds, leading him to a new understanding of love and justice. The impact of that day was not limited to the centurion. Other soldiers and spectators were also deeply affected by what they saw and heard. Jesus' crucifixion left an indelible mark on all present, leading many to question their beliefs and seek the truth. Jesus' death began to sow seeds of faith that would germinate in the weeks and months following. Among those present were the women who accompanied Jesus from Galilee, including Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. They watched everything from afar, but their love and devotion to Jesus were undeniable. These women would be the first to witness Jesus' resurrection, and their testimony would be crucial in spreading the good news. The crucifixion also had a significant impact on Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, both members of the Sanhedrin who secretly believed in Jesus. They risked their reputations and possibly their lives to ask Pilate for Jesus' body and bury it with dignity. This act of courage and faith showed that Jesus' death was beginning to transform hearts, even among the religious leaders. The centurion who began the day as an executioner ended it as a believer. His declaration of faith was a milestone in the history of salvation, showing that even the most hardened can be touched by divine grace. The centurion's transformation served as a powerful testimony to the redemptive power of the cross, inspiring others to seek the truth and embrace faith in Jesus. Mary Magdalene, a devoted follower of Jesus, was present. Her testimony about Jesus' resurrection added more credibility to the centurion's experiences. She was the first to see the risen Jesus, and her story inspired many to believe in the power of the resurrection. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples and announced, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them what he had said to her. John 20:18. Mary Magdalene was a woman who had been delivered from 7 demons by Jesus. Her gratitude and love for him were profound, and she followed him faithfully, supporting his ministry. When Jesus was crucified, she remained at the foot of the cross, witnessing his suffering and death. Her constant presence by Jesus' side during his most difficult moments showed her unwavering devotion. Jesus' resurrection was a moment of great joy and transformation for Mary Magdalene. She ran to tell the disciples, who were hiding for fear of the Jewish leaders. Her message brought hope and renewed the faith of those who were disheartened. Mary Magdalene's experience as an eyewitness of the resurrection was a powerful testimony that helped spread the good news. The centurion, hearing Mary Magdalene's testimony and that of other followers of Jesus, might have been further strengthened in his new faith. Jesus' resurrection confirmed everything he had witnessed during the crucifixion. He saw that death did not have the final word, and that eternal life was a reality promised by Jesus. This deep understanding might have led him to share his own experience and faith with others. Interpretation of the centurion's possible reactions and actions after hearing Mary Magdalene's testimony. After Jesus' resurrection, the centurion might have begun to share his experience with others. He could have told how he had witnessed the extraordinary events of the crucifixion, including the supernatural signs and Jesus' compassion. His story might have moved many hearts and led many to faith in Christ. He might have become one of the first to publicly acknowledge Jesus' divinity, showing that Jesus' message was for all, Jews and Gentiles alike. Interpretation of the possible impact of the centurion's testimony. Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection had a profound and lasting impact. The story of the centurion, who began the day as an executioner and ended it as a believer, is a powerful testimony to the transforming power of the cross. Jesus' message continues to touch hearts and change lives, just as it did over 2,000 years ago. May we all be inspired by Jesus' faith and love, following his example of compassion and mercy. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is the central point of the Christian faith and holds profound theological and spiritual significance. It represents the culmination of God's plan of salvation for humanity. To fully understand this importance, it is necessary to explore the dimensions of this event and how it connects with God's plan of salvation as revealed in the scriptures. From the beginning of creation, humanity was designed to have an intimate and perfect relationship with God. However, sin entered the world through the disobedience of Adam and Eve, breaking that communion and introducing death and suffering into the human experience, Genesis 3. Sin separated humanity from God, creating a barrier that could not be overcome by human actions alone. Jesus, as the Lamb of God, came into the world to atone for the sins of humanity. Atonement refers to the act of making amends for guilt or wrongdoing through a sacrifice. In the Old Testament, this was symbolized by the sacrifice of animals offered to cover the people's sins. However, these sacrifices were temporary and could not remove sin definitively. Hebrews 10, 1-4. Jesus, being perfect and sinless, offered himself as the final and perfect sacrifice. His death on the cross satisfied God's justice, becoming the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 2:2. Propitiation means appeasing or satisfying God's wrath. Jesus took upon himself the punishment we deserved, reconciling us to God. Through Jesus' sacrifice, believers are justified before God. Justification is a legal term that means being declared righteous. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are declared righteous before God, not by our merits, but by the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, Romans 5. This means that the penalty for sin was paid and our relationship with God was restored. Jesus' sacrifice fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. From Genesis 3, verse 15, where God promises that the woman's offspring would crush the serpent's head, to the messianic prophecies in Isaiah 53 that describe the suffering servant who would bear our sins, Jesus' sacrifice was prefigured and promised as part of God's redemptive plan. Jesus' sacrifice established a new covenant between God and humanity. Unlike the old covenant, which depended on obedience to the law of Moses and continuous sacrifices, the new covenant is based on grace and faith in Jesus Christ. At the Last Supper, Jesus declared that his blood would be the blood of the new covenant, shed for the remission of sins, Matthew 26, 28. Jesus' sacrifice also brought reconciliation. By his death, Jesus reconciled us to God, removing the barrier of sin that separated us from him. This is described in 2 Corinthians 5:18-19, where Paul writes that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. Reconciliation implies that we can now have peace with God and a relationship with Him through Jesus' sacrifice. Believers have the promise of eternal life through Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus affirmed in John 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus' death and resurrection guarantee that death is not the end, but the beginning of a new life with God forever. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is the supreme act of God's love and grace towards humanity. It fulfills the promises and prophecies of the Old Testament, establishes a new covenant, brings redemption, justification, and reconciliation, and offers the promise of eternal life. This central event of Christianity reveals the heart of God and His plan of salvation for all humanity. It is an invitation for all to reconcile with God through faith in Jesus Christ and to experience the transformation that comes from God's redemptive grace.